Father, we come before you. We just thank you so much for the good service that we had this morning. We thank you for your spirit that we feel here tonight. Ask that you would speak through me the words that you would have us to speak. I'm going to preach, Father, with all the boldness and the power and the anointing that you've given me and all of the authority. And I just pray that the hand of the Holy Spirit would be upon me and anoint your words. And Father, that you would just open up our eyes and help us to see how valuable we are in your eyes. And I thank you for what you're going to do here tonight, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this may be kind of an unusual message, but I'm going to give it to you just like God laid it upon my heart. And I want to start off tonight with a story. I heard about a grandfather and a grandson that was walking down the beach. And I don't know what had happened, but for some reason, the beach was just lined with hundreds, literally thousands, of starfish. And I don't know if they got washed up on shore somewhere. I don't know how. But as they were walking down through there, ever so often the grandfather would reach down, pick up a starfish, and throw it back out in the ocean. And this went on for quite a while, and the grandson finally said, "Granddad," said, you're really wasting your time. Said, "There's so many here, there's no way we could throw all of them back." Said, "What difference does it make to throw one back every now and then?" And the granddad reached down, picked up a starfish, looked at his grandson, said, "To this starfish means all the difference in the world," and threw it back out in the ocean. Well, sometimes we kind of feel like that, don't we? We feel like there's literally thousands, and in our case, there's millions of Christians around the world, and we're wondering sometimes, does God really notice me? How important am I to God? And you know, I've shared with you before, growing up, I had very low self-esteem. I didn't think anybody noticed me in a good light, let alone God. And I think a lot of times that we have that same thinking in our Christian kingdom. You know, well, God's so busy with the big people, he's not going to notice me. Well, I'm going to show you tonight that we are important to God. And I want you to really tune in and listen to this because it will change the way you approach God. If you pray knowing that God is listening to you and you alone, and that he is going to meet your needs just like he said he would, then it's going to change the way you approach him. You know, you're not going to approach him like, "Well, I've got a one in a million chance he's going to listen to me." You're going to know that he's going to listen to you. And what I'm going to do tonight, but we're going to look at different stories in the Bible. We're not going to necessarily turn to the scriptures on them because you already know the stories. But there's some things in here I want you to notice. I want to start off with Thomas. Now, we all know that Jesus went to the cross, died, was buried, 3 days later was resurrected. A few days later, he appeared to the multitude in the upper room. And for some reason, Thomas was not there. And we don't know. There's been a lot of speculation on where Thomas was. We just simply don't know where Thomas was. But I find it interesting. Jesus only had 40 days after his resurrection to get everything done that he needed to get done on earth before his ascension. Now, 40 days is not a lot of time. And if you've got 40 days to get ready for something, that's not a whole lot of time, especially if it's something big. If you know it's a deadline and at the end of those 40 days, that's all you've got. Your time is precious. And you're only going to do things that are very important. And if you'll notice what Jesus did, he took time out of his extremely tight schedule and came back to meet Thomas in his arena of doubt and assure Thomas, "Thomas, you are so important to me that I put everything else on hold to come back and speak just to you." Even though you had the opportunity, Thomas, to be here when everybody else was here, I'm still taking time out of my very busy schedule. And that's not the words he's saying, but that's the point he's getting across to Thomas. "Thomas, you are very important to me. So important, I put everything on hold." Another story that came to mind while I was thinking about this, and we've talked about this gentleman several times lately, is Jairus. We know Jesus was out ministering. The Bible says that people were literally thronging around him, so much so that when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" the disciples thought he was losing his mind, basically. "Then what do you mean, who touched you? There's people all around you." Yet Jesus left the multitude when Jairus came up and said, "Master, my daughter's at the point of death. Will you come heal her?" Now, it's time to think about that, folks. Here is a multitude. Jesus was, well, Jairus, I'm sure that's important. I'm sure she is done, but I've got all these people. But he left all these people to go with Jairus. Now, folks, that really needs to catch our attention. Even though he was ministering to the multitude, he left the multitude for one man's need. And we preached on that here recently, talking about, you know, Jairus put a demand on Jesus that possibly the other folks didn't put on him. But even so, Jesus left the multitude for one. And that's not the only time he did that. Another case in point is Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't just a wee little man, like we sing in the song. He was also a tax collector and one of the most hated men in the whole community. In Jairus, we know that he was, quote, a big dog in the community. And you say, well, of course Jesus left everybody and went with him. He, look who he was. He was an important man. But on the other hand, Zacchaeus was a hated man. He was a thief and a robber, stealing people blind through their taxes. And yet here Jesus was with a multitude. It was such a multitude that Zacchaeus had to climb the tree to be able to see Jesus. And I've envisioned this in my mind many times. I really don't think Zacchaeus had any intentions of Jesus calling attention to him. He was just in the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. The Bible doesn't say he cried out, called out, did anything to get Jesus' attention. But Jesus stopped, again, with the multitude all around him to meet one man's need. And not only did he meet his need, he told him, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to go have supper with you. Folks, we are so important that God is willing to put the multitude on hold, so to speak, because he's going to take care of them too. But so to speak, he's going to put them on hold to meet our needs. And he even wants to spend time with us. He doesn't just want to meet our needs and go on. He told Zacchaeus, you come down, I'm going to go have supper with you. Another example of how Jesus put things on hold. Now, this man did cry out to Jesus, blind Bartimaeus. When he heard Jesus was walking by, he didn't care about the crowd. He cried out unto Jesus, and the more they tried to make him get quiet, we know that the more that he cried out, the louder he cried out, and Jesus took the time to go meet blind Bartimaeus' needs. Again, folks, multitudes are all around Jesus, yet he had time for the individual. And remember when he went to the pool of Bethsaida? What did he do? Healed one. It talks about there was a multitude there waiting on the angel to come down and stir up the water so they could get in. But Jesus didn't wait on that. It says that he saw this one man and met that one man's needs. God sees us as individuals. There was many people around this pool. There was a multitude of people around this pool. But Jesus saw that one man and saw that one man's needs. Yes, God sees us as a Christian nation. God sees us as the Center Point Church. But more importantly, folks, he sees us as individuals. In fact, somebody I didn't even put down, well, there's a couple of people on here I didn't even put down that God just brought to my mind. Remember Noah? in all the evil and all the wickedness that was going on, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was living righteously. Another one that God just put on my heart was Mary, the mother of Jesus, said that she found favor in the eyes of God because she was righteous. So God's taking time, even though he's got children everywhere, God is taking time to watch us individually and carefully. And we've talked many times that God is even taking the time to write down every single moment of every single day of your life. That's why it's so important that we need to listen to God. You know, just like I shared with you before this message, that God here lately been saying to me, well, can't you at least do something productive? I need to listen to that. If I push that aside, then it's going to be easier for me next time not to hear God's voice. And next time it's going to be easier for me not to hear God's voice. And the next time, I won't even hear his voice. So we need to be listening as well. Now, I have three more examples I want to share with you real quick here. These next two, there's the words to explain these and describe what Jesus did here. I've thought about this all week, and I'm like, God, how do I explain that? How do I put that into words? How do I help us to see what Jesus was doing? And we're going to look at it the very best that we possibly can. And the first one is when Jesus was in the garden praying. And we could go into a lot of details on what was going on there, but we all know that Jesus' disciples had already fallen asleep three different times. So he had kind of been not necessarily betrayed by them, but they didn't understand the spiritual warfare going on. They had fallen asleep on the job. And folks, boy, there's a sermon there, isn't there? Well, right in the middle of all that, here comes Judas to betray Jesus, one of his own 12. We know that there's a mob of men, soldiers, at least 600 armed soldiers coming after Jesus. Well, one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, finally wakes up and says, okay, well, I'm going to defend Jesus with all I've got, and takes out his sword, and he cuts off the high servant's ear. The high priest servant here. Now, folks, think about this. Here Jesus is about to be arrested. There's a mob of angry soldiers there waiting to take him and to do ungodly things to him and beat him and mock him and do all these things that they've had stored up in their minds for a long time. And yet Jesus takes time to do actually two things. One, to clean up one of his disciples' mess. And number two, to heal the servant's ear. I don't know about you, but to me that is almost beyond my comprehension. Jesus just completely put his own self aside to meet the needs of two other individuals. Another one I want us to look at closely. And again, we all know the story, and again, it's almost impossible to put it into words, but when Jesus was hanging on the cross, had been beaten more than any man in history had ever been beaten, scourged beyond recognition, had more pain physically, emotionally, and spiritually going on than we can even come close to comprehending, is being ridiculed and mocked and spit upon and beat and is hanging on this cross. And all of a sudden he hears a cry from a thief over here that says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus literally ignores everything else that's going on in himself and all around him and looks to that one thief. And even in his anguish and even in his last few moments of life, Jesus still is meeting a single individual's need. Now I want to get to the very most important illustration. And that's you. How important are you to God? Folks, that's a very important question. I've written down just a few things here, but again, we could take this list, and there's no way it could be exhaustive. But you are so important to God that He took the time to draw you to His Son for salvation. And you may say, well, you know, what's the big deal about that? Well, the Bible says that He loved us while we were yet enemies. Even with me, I was saved at the early age of 8 years old. But even at that time, yes, I went to church. Yes, I heard the preaching. Yes, I heard the Sunday school teaching. But I really wasn't seeking God. In fact, I wasn't seeking God. I was just going to church, having a good time, and being with my friends and doing all the activities. And in the middle of all that, God took the time to draw me to salvation. If you think about your salvation experience, He did the same thing to you. He did things in your life that drew you to Him, and He took the time to do that. So most importantly, you are so important to Him that He drew you to Him even when you probably weren't seeking Him. You're so important to God that He speaks to you. And you know, sometimes people get kind of weird about this God speaking to us thing. You know, they say, well, how do you hear God? Well, God speaks through that still, small voice on the inside of you. Sometimes I wish His timing was a little bit better. Here lately it's been at 3:30 in the morning. This morning it was 5 in the morning. And I'm like, God, I just got in bed at 1. And He's like, well, you want to talk or not? I said, sure, I'm up now. Let's talk. And folks, I don't have any idea really who that song was for this morning. But I woke up with that song, We Fall Down, and We Lay Our Crowns. That was on my mind when I woke up at 5 o'clock, and I've never had this thought before, but just like we sung it this morning, God said, I want you to sing the first verse with crowns, the second verse with we lay ourselves down, and the third verse, we lay our ties down. I don't know about you, but I don't wake up in the middle of the night naturally thinking those kind of thoughts. God laid that on my heart. He spoke that into my being. And then the verses I shared with you this morning out of Deuteronomy about we need to tithe out of a thankful heart for all He's done. We are so important to Him that He takes the time to speak to our heart. And again, we have to make sure that we are listening to that still, small voice. And let me share this with you. If you wake up during the middle of the night, even if you don't hear God speaking, I try to do this every time I wake up. I'll lay there for just a moment and say, okay, God, did I just wake up naturally? Or do you have something you want to say to me? And sometimes I go right back to sleep. If I go right back to sleep, yeah, that's fine. But there's many times God starts speaking things into my heart. And folks, a lot of times, the only time we are really quiet enough for God to speak to us is in the middle of the night. We're so busy during the day with life that we just kind of push God off to the side. So if you wake up in the middle of the night, take the time and see if God speaks to you. Another way that we are so important to Him is He takes the time and the effort to meet our needs. And He does that on an individual basis. And the reason He does that on an individual basis, if I started right here with Bruce, Bruce's needs are different than my needs. Bruce's needs are different than Sister Mildred's needs. Sister Mildred's needs are different than Sister LaWanda's. And we could go all the way back through here, folks. Every single one of us have different needs. And God takes the time to meet our needs individually, specifically. And again, I talked about the lady with the issue of blood and Jairus. different needs, but he met both of their needs and gave them exactly what they needed. So he takes the time to meet our needs. He takes the time to lead us. He takes the time to teach us. And one of the things that is really important to me is that he takes the time to be with us. He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Was that important to him? He will never leave us and never forsake us. If everybody all around us leaves us and forsakes us, we still have God. Because we are that important to him. You are so important to God that he gave his son to die in your stead. And folks, he didn't have to do that. There's nothing in the Word of God that says Jesus had to die. In fact, he said, you can't kill me. I lay down my life. I give my life. He did not have to die for us. He had a choice in the matter. God had a choice on whether to send Jesus to earth and let him go through all of that for us. You are so important. In fact, let me take this to really where it is. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, because God loves, he would have died for you and you only. Because God is love, he would die for us individually. In fact, he did die for us individually. That is exactly how important you are to God. You cost God dearly. He gave the ultimate price for you. Now, I don't say that to try to make you feel bad. He freely and willingly gave and paid that price, like I said a minute ago. But we need to understand that we are important in God's eyes. A lot of times when we go to pray, I really get the sense that we think, well, who am I that God's going to listen to me? Well, you're the same person that he died for. That's who you are. You're the same person that he paid the ultimate price for. That's who you are. The problem is, a lot of times we let Satan lie to us and tell us that we are not important to God. But folks, you are of the utmost importance to God. Everything that God has ever done, has been for Kurt Williams and Ann King and Amy and Linda. And we could go around and point our fingers and call off everybody's name. Folks, you are the utmost importance to God. Now, we don't need to let that make us prideful, but if you see it in its true light, that's not going to make you prideful. That's going to make you very humble. Very humble. But again, when you go into the throne room of God, you're going to go in with boldness because you know who you are. And you're going to go in and say, okay, God, you told me to come in with boldness that you could meet my needs. Here I am. Here's my need. And Father, I thank you for meeting my needs because your word says I am so important that you will meet my needs individually, specifically, the way I've asked you to. Well, it's amazing who we are, isn't it? You know, the problem is a lot of times we look at ourselves. Like I could look at myself like a little boy raised up on a farm in Figure 5, Arkansas. If you want to call it so, kind of an insignificant, not unusual, but very normal life. But that's not how God sees us. He sees us as his children. He sees us like the prodigal father saw the prodigal son. He sees us, he's looking for us to come home. We're so important that if we come back with big mess all over us, and we're stinking, and our clothes are rotten, and our hair hasn't been combed or washed in weeks, God's still going to hug us and love us and call us his own. Isn't that amazing? I think that's why they call it amazing grace, because that's what it is. I'm going to ask Diana if she would to come to the piano with us, just to play something. And yes, the altars are going to be open. The altars are always open. But what I want us to do tonight, we're going to pray in just a moment. And I just want you to, not only now, but now and for the next few weeks, really meditate upon this and let it speak to your heart. Because, folks, it will change the way we pray. When you know you're important, you can go with boldness. Again, giving you a real quick story. When I was growing up, I've told you about all the crazy junk I went through, and I don't know why I went through it. I really don't know why I had the low self-esteem that I had. I'm not sure if I've shared this with you folks or not, but for years, I thought I was adopted. Or it finally dawned on me, even if I was adopted, that's even more proof that Mom and Dad loved me. And when I finally got to the point that I understood that Mom and Dad loved me and that I was special and important to them, it changed our relationship. I wasn't the boy that just kind of existed anymore. I really became part of the family. And that was a very important time for me. And my relationship with my mom and my dad continued to increase and get better after that point. And folks, it's the same thing with God. Once we understand how important we are to him, we can really start building that relationship. We can go down and go and sit down and say, God, I just want to talk to you for a while. I know I'm important enough to you that you're going to sit there and you're going to listen to me. And guess what? He will. Because he loves you. If you would, stand with us and let's pray. And after we finish praying, if you'll pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you so much for your love. God, you love us so much that you sent Jesus to die for our sins. And Father, I know that you would have done that even if I was the only person on the face of this earth. And God, I really don't know how to comprehend the love that you have for me, but I receive it. And I receive the fact, Father, that I am very important to you. I am the most important thing to you. Not only did you send your Son to die for me, but Father, you sent your Holy Spirit to fill me and to lead me and to guide me. And you are there every single day listening to my prayers and my petitions, meeting my needs, leading me, and you're with me every step of the way. You'll never forsake me. And Father, I just thank you that I am that important to you. And I just pray, Father, that you would help us to spend time meditating upon the fact that we are of the utmost importance to you and that we are always on your mind and that you love us with an amazing love. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.